ilaha
illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma rabbu hadhihi ad-da'wah at-tammah was-salah al-qa'imah. Ati Muhammad al-fadilata wal-wasilata wa ba'athu al-maqam al-mahmud kama wa'ad. Innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. فإن الحمد لله تعالى الحمد لله فاطر السماوات والأرض جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاث ورباع يزيد في خلق ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance and for his mercy, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil that exists within our own selves and from the evil outcome of our misdeeds. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can lead them astray. And whomever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide them. And I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and he is the seal of the prophets. And our holy beloved Prophet, as-sadiq wal-masduq, kama qala Umar ibn al-Khattab, he characterized the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as as-sadiq wal-masduq. He's the truthful and the believable. And the truthful and believable Prophet had said that surely in the asdaq hadith kitabullah wa khayru hadyin hadyu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa anna sharru umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'a wa kullu bid'atin dolalah wa kullu dolalatin fin nari amma ba'd. Fayaqulu Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu alayhim al malaikatu alla tukhafu wa la tahzanu وَأُبَشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. Brothers and sisters, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جاعل الملائكة رسلا. He's made the angels into messengers. أولي أجنحة with wings. مثنى وثلاثة ورباعة. Two, three, or four. ويزيد في خلق ما يشاء. And Allah increases in His creation whatever He wishes. When Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his full form, he was in the form of 600 wings. And we ask Allah for his guidance and for his mercy and to increase us in faith, to increase us in iman. Brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about some of the mechanics of the ghaib, of the unseen things. Because part of being a Muslim is believing in the unseen. Like Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those people who believe in the unseen, and they establish the prayer, and they spend out of what we have provided for them. Because belief in the unseen is a big part of our aqidah, of our faith, is that we believe in things that we don't see, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those things. Because much of the way that you navigate your way through life You're all basing this on things you have never seen. We've never seen the Jannah, we've never seen the Nar, we've never seen the Yawm al-Qiyamah, we have not seen the Mizan, the scale. We haven't seen the Malaika that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks all so much about. And the interesting thing about the Malaika is that, you know, Allah mentions so many things about them, and they're part of His crew, so to speak. They're part of His army. If Allah was said to have an army or a staff, not that He needs a staff, because huwa ghaniyun 'anil 'alamin. Allah doesn't need anything at all. But He has a dedicated staff of servants who go around praising Him all the time. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّهَ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. They praise Allah day and night without stopping, and they do His bidding without thinking twice. And we have a relationship with these malaika. In fact, the relationship between human beings and malaika is very, very important, because they pray for you. They do things on your behalf if they like you, or when they're commanded to do. The way your soul comes out of the body when you die, because it's the malaika who take your soul, they can take it one way or they can take it another way. Whether or not they praise you or curse you, that's the issue for the Muslim, because they are the ibad of Allah. Like Allah says, لا يستنكف المسيح أن يكون عبدا لله ولا ملائكة المقربون. He says, the Messiah, Isa, has no problem in being a servant of Allah, nor does the ملائكة المقربون, the angels that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've always been fascinated about the whole idea of angels. I believe in the angels, of course. But their functionality of the angels. And one of the things that really caught my attention is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because while you're living in the earth, you know, there's malaika. Even going to Jumu'ah, you know, there's a set of angels on the door of every masjid on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Every Yawm al-Jumu'ah, there's a set of angels on the door of the masjid, and they write down the names of the people who are coming in. They have a special scroll for the people who get there before the imam. If you get there to the masjid before the imam, your name goes on that scroll. But when the imam gets on the minbar and starts to give the khutbah, they roll the scroll up and they come sit in the masjid. So even as while we're sitting here right now, there are malaika sitting in this masjid listening to this khutbah. Because this is what they preoccupy themselves with doing, acts of good, and listening to the khutbah to Jumu'ah is the act of khayr. But what really got me about the malaika is the friendship relationship that they have with human beings, with Muslims. Because they are the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we do certain things in imitation or in congruence with them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, when the imam says, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, in the salat, he says, say ameen. He says, because the malaika, when they hear that, they say, ameen. And he says, whoever says something in congruence with me at the same time, he's saying it, the malaika is saying it, you're saying it at the same time, he said, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِي, that all of his previous sins are forgiven. Just that one thing. Because they interact with the people. You have some, you have Jibreel, Mikael, Asrafil, you have Malik, Ridwan, they have specific things that they do. And then you have the malaika, they are sayahun, that they go about. You have some that sayahun, they look for halakat al-dhikr. They look for people who are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what they love the most. The malaika, they're in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're devoted to Allah. They're on the side of Allah. They love what Allah loves. They hate what Allah hates. When the Prophet ﷺ had a problem with a couple of his wives one time, Aisha and Hafsa, may Allah be pleased with them. It wasn't a big deal, but it was stressing the Prophet out. It was stressing him. So, of course, the Malaika never liked to see their Prophet being stressed, because he wasn't sent to them, but they acknowledged that he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the Habib of Allah. Of all human beings, Malaika love Anbiya. And they love people who love the Anbiya. And they love people who try to emulate the Anbiya, the Prophets. And they love the people who try to emulate, especially Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They dig you because, man, you dig them. You dig them. It's all okay. Because they look at themselves, we're a team over here. We're on the side of Allah. We stand with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, of course, they like the believer who stands with Allah. Because the dunya is about, it's about which team you're on. If you're a Muslim, what side are you on? That's what we talk about, the shahada, bearing witness. Like Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ عَمِلًا صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He says, who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah, does righteous deeds, and proclaims, yes, I am the Muslim? Because you're like, you know, we don't like to take sides. And a Muslim should avoid taking any vociferous situation where he has to, you know, engage in any hardcore enmity with it. You should avoid that. Even in battle. You know how Muslims like to fight. Some of them like to fight too much, mashallah. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوِ. He said, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوِ وَلَكِنْ إِذَا لَقِيتُمُوهُمْ فَثْبُتُوا. He said, never wish that you're going to meet your enemy. You don't get don't wish you're going to meet your enemy. But if you happen to meet them, hold firm. So the Malaika, they love what Allah loves. They hate what Allah hates. They befriend whom Allah befriends. And their enemies to who Allah is an enemy, who Allah has issues with, they have issues with. Because they're loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the qualities that Muslims can take from angels. The loyalty. You got a problem with my Lord, I got a problem with you. You hate Allah, I can't love you. I can be fair to you and all that. Like Allah says in Quran, He says, لَن تَجِدَ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِرَتُهُمْ. He says, you will never find a people who believe in Allah and believe in the last day having ardent love for anybody who opposes Allah and His Messenger, even if it's their fathers or their sons or their tribes or their brethren. Because it's not personal. Because you as a Muslim, this is the modality that Muslims should live in. This is the mentality that we should have. In a graceful way. Not in a harsh way. Like Allah says in Quran. Right? الذين يمشون في الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. He says those, the men of the merciful, they walk on the earth humbly, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, and when the ignorant people speak to them, they say salama. Like they ain't even personal. Because you want to avoid having personal issues with people as a Muslim when it comes to deen. Some things are going to be personal, and you're going to take it personal. But you want to avoid it. The Prophet ﷺ used to, if someone did something to him personally, he would never seek retribution for it. I'm tested with that all the time. I'm still failing that one. So I take stuff personal, like, man, you know. But of course, I'm not the Prophet ﷺ. But if someone else was wrong, he was the hardest adversary for that person. But if it was him personally, he was okay to let it go. That's what Allah says, وَلَقَالَ بِمَا الْغَيْثُ وَعَافِينَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those people who stay away from arguing and they pardon people, really Allah loves the righteous. But back to the story about the angels, about Allah and the angels and how they stand and how they stand together, and they're like a team. They come to each other's aid. So this happened with Aisha and Hafsa. It was a long story, but it had to do with one of the Prophet's wives. Her name was Maryam, and they didn't really feel her too much. She was from Egypt. She was young, and so anyway. Long story short, the Prophet was getting pressure from Hafsa and Aisha, like heavy pressure. And then they were saying to him things like, man, your breath smells, get away from me. And the Prophet used to, if you wanted to insult the Prophet ﷺ, talk about his breath. Because the Prophet was an insulting person. And people got bad breath. That's why Muslims, we use some swag, we brush your teeth. You should never be around people who got bad breath. Because that's adha. That's annoying to anybody. So the Prophet was feeling bad about the way that they were kind of hassling, to the point where he swore by Allah, he made an oath, that he would never go to Mary's house again. He says, wallahi, I won't even go there anymore. That's his wife. You need to talk about pressure. So that was the last straw for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the angels, they're seeing this. The angels, they don't know the unseen. They know what goes on as it unfolds. The only one that knows the unseen, what to come, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angels don't know the future except what Allah gives them. He gives them some information. You know, the angel of death gets some information, but even the angel of death doesn't know when you're going to die until your name comes off the tree of life. He don't know well in advance. He knows shortly before when your name falls in the book. He says, okay, now. But he don't know. He got it looked at. He ain't got that information like that. So they're watching this unfold. So first thing Allah did was he chastised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when Allah makes a law, L-A-W, law, it's his law. It's his deen. It's his sharia. If he makes something halal, it's his halal. And Allah don't like people messing around with the stuff that he made halal. You know, he don't like you getting into that area. That's the area Muslims should always stay away from. If something is haram in the kitab, it's haram. It's haram by the sunnah, alhamdulillah, it's haram. If it's haram by ittifaq of the ulama, of the scholars who all agree, okay, alhamdulillah. If it ain't haram by text, leave it alone, trust me. Because now you're going in the area Allah don't like, he's not feeling that. The Prophet haram one of his wives, the visitation, and Allah revealed the verse, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, لِمَا تَحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْدَغِي مَرَضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ. He said, oh, Prophet, Why are you going to make prohibited what Allah has made permissible for you, trying to please your wives? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. قَدْ فَرْضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحَلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ. This is a lesson for brothers when it comes to your wives and your deen. You never let anybody tell you about what you're going to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you can do it. Because some of you brothers, you know, let your wives tell you when you can come to the masjid, you can't go to, it's just too late, I want you home with me, all that kind of stuff. You need to stop that. That's just a side note. Some of you let your wives get too much into your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She want to boss you around about putting out the trash and cleaning up the garage. Hey, alhamdulillah, mashallah. I think I do what she said. And that. But when it comes to your religion, you only have one Lord. So Allah chastised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that. So the angels are seeing this unfold, you know. They're not feeling the wives at this point. So Allah later on, he revealed a verse specifically directed to Aisha and Hafsa. And this gives you an inkling to the relationship of the Malaika, specifically Jibreel alayhi salam, with the Prophet and the righteous. So Allah said to Aisha and Hafsa, he said, "In tatuba ilallahi faqad sagat qulubakuma." He said, "If both of you make tawbah to Allah," because he's like, this, it's over. He ain't haraming nothing. Did I say it's halal? Who y'all talk? Who y'all? He said to the Prophet, "Break your oath. Break that oath." Because he made an oath. He swore. So Allah says, "Qad fardallahu lakum tahallata aymanikum." Allah has mandated that you break that oath. Because Allah is your friend, right? And Allah's kind of mad in these verses. So he said to Aisha and Hafsa, "In tatuba ilallahi faqad sagat qulubakuma wa in tadhahara alayhi fa inna allaha huwa mawlahu wa jibrilu wa salihul mu'minina wal malaikatu ba'da dhalika dhahir." It's like heavy. So he said to them, he said, "Listen, if both of you repent to Allah," but for what? Well, for causing the Prophet problems, complaining to the point where he made something, he got the Prophet in trouble with Allah. Because even the Prophet doesn't have the right to change the law. Nobody got the right to change nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set down. No one. Not the Malaika to Muqarrabun, not the king, not the Prophet, not you, not I, no one. So he said, "If you repent to Allah, then your hearts will become whole again." But then he said, "Wa in tadhahara alay." But if you and Aisha, how shall I, if you continue to go up against him, then know this. And this is where Allah, I'm like, wow, Allah, you deep. He says, "فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ." He says, "Because verily Allah is his friend and protector. And so is Jibreel." And Jibreel. وَصَالِحِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and the righteous believers. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ, and other angels as backup. So Allah is saying, listen, we all on one team. If you mess with him, you mess with us. You mess with the Prophet, you're the enemy of the Prophet, you're the enemy of Jibreel. You're Jibreel's enemy, you're Mikael's enemy. If you're Mikael's enemy, you're Asrafil's enemy. If you're their enemy, you're the Malik al-Mulk's enemy. Everybody, because we all on one side. We're all one group. This is how our deen is. The Muslim makes a decision while you're on the planet Earth, which side you want? Are you on Allah's side or are you on Iblis' side? There's only two sides. There's only two sides. When you straddle the fence, you're on the other side. See, people think they can play both sides. You really can't play both sides when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah does not accept partnership. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمِلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever wants a good meeting with his Lord, then he should do righteous deeds and not associate anyone in the worship of his Lord. Allah doesn't accept that you be on the fence. A lot of times Muslims think, well, I just play both sides. They really can't. Because if you play both sides, you're really not anywhere with Allah. Because Allah demands that if you're going to be on his side, you're on his side. So whose side you on? That's why we bear witness. That's why we testify. That's why we speak up. That's how we clarify. No, I'm not with that. We don't try to intrude in anybody's business. This is not our business. The Prophet said, "Min husni Islam al-mar itarakuhu ma la ya'ni." The good of a person's Islam is leaving alone that which is not concerning him. That's not what I'm talking about. But if it's brought to your table, you have to declare, "Dude, I'm Muslim, this is my position." And we can go and get back to work, or if you want to talk about it, but I just, let me clear that out. I don't agree with that. I'm not sanctioning that. Yeah, everybody just go ahead and do this. No, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. Wait till y'all get done and get back to work in the office, and I can help you with the project and all that. Because you can't be in the middle. Allah says, "Dhabdhabina bayna dhalika la ilaha ula'i wa la ilaha ula'i." He says, they're oscillating between the two, not on this side, not on that side. What's interesting is how Jibreel had that from the beginning, the love for the Prophet, so it's some of the protection of Rasulullah from the very beginning. Because Allah made Jibreel the primary protector of the Anbiya. Even when the Prophet was born, alayhi salam, when he was born, on the night that he was born, Iblis, he was on his throne, because he has his headquarters. I think it's in the Bermuda Triangle, but I don't know where it's there. No, I think it's there. The reason I think it's there is because we know from the Sunnah, from the Sahih, that his throne and his headquarters is on water. We know it's on one of the seas. We know that for a fact. That Iblis has a dunya headquarters. He has like a headquarters, that's his spot, where his dunya, this is his place. And the only place I can think of that even navigational equipment won't work at, and people can't, they really haven't charted, is areas of the Bermuda Triangle. Because air, navigation equipment won't even work in that area. So I don't know, I'm just guessing, low bottom anyway. Don't matter, because I ain't trying to go there. I don't want to go. So I don't really care where it's at. It won't last. When Allah destroys what's left, he's going to destroy the throne of Iblis too. And his Janud. His army is going to the hellfire. So I just want to make sure that I'm not with that army. I'm not with them. You see what I'm saying? Because if you're not with Allah, that's who you're with. But anyway, Iblis, he got together his top lieutenants. And he said, there's a child that's going to be born this night who threatens everything that we are about. He threatens everything that we were about. I want you to go and find him. So they went out, flying out. They're going on these big, big demons, big lieutenants of Iblis's army, because he got an army too. He got a big, pretty big army too. They go out and they're looking everywhere to try to find where the Prophet was going to be born. What's going on? Where is that? They came back empty-handed, and came back and he said, "Master, we searched the world high and low, and we could not find him at all." So Iblis said, I'm going to find him myself. So he set out. He looked, and then he found the Prophet. The Prophet was in Mecca, in the house where the Prophet was born. So he came back to the throne, having accomplished anything. So they asked him, Master, what happened? Did you find him? He says, yes, I did find him. Walakin ma'ahu Jibreel. He says, I found him, but Jibreel was with him. So that blocked her. So that whole crew of the angels, because the angels are, you know, the chief emissaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the planet. They're his chief workers, and they interact with human beings in various and sundry ways. Some ways are very, very intimate. Inna alaykum lahafidin, karaman katibin, ya'alamuna ma taf'alun. Allah says, set upon you are two guardians, karaman katibin, honored scribes. So everybody got at least two angels on one side, one on the other side. They're writing down your deeds. And they don't even play around with it. As we speak, there's one right here, there's one right here. We can't see them, but they're there. Their job is to write down everything. Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah says, وَجَاءَ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهُ سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. Every soul comes on the day of judgment. They have a sa'iq, they have a driver. It's going to be an angel saying, this way, sir. And then and you will have a shaheed. He got the book. That's the witness. Because they write it all down. It's all written down. Then Monday and Thursday, they bring it. So this is the nature of them, how they work with people. But what really struck me was in the verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Really, those people who say, our Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then after that, they... اسْتَقَامُوا means that you seek to live a straight path. Like صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. You seeking, you know, we're not perfect, but istiqama, it means that your intention, that you're really striving to live the right way. That's called istiqama. A man came to the Prophet, so somebody asked him for advice. He said, "Qul Rabbi Allah thumma istaqim." He says, "Say my Lord is Allah." Then after that, try to be upright. So Allah says, "Inna alladhina qalu rabbana Allah." Those people who say our Lord is Allah, thumma istaqamu, and then after that they live a righteous life. Tatanazzalu alayhimul malaikatu, that the angels. Now check this out. I like this part because I'm going to be needing that. Hopefully. May Allah give us this upon our death. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Those people who say, my Lord is Allah. Why do you say? Because the Muslim has to declare, this is my Lord. My Lord is Allah. Dude, I don't worship that. I'm not with that. No, I'm sorry. Whatever. I'm not with your deen. A lot of Muslims are afraid of that declaration. But you don't want to, don't be afraid of that. Everybody has to go to Allah. You, them, everybody. The one you're afraid of just because you're afraid of declaring your position. Don't ever be anywhere where you're sanctioning haram and you're engaging in haram and you're living the life of an unbeliever with the ill. That's so nasty. You're living just like an unbeliever, acting like an unbeliever, going to their places of, where they party and jamming, and you all up in there. Oh my God! SubhanAllah! That's so ugly. It's ugly. Being like them. That's what the Prophet said. Al-mar'u ala dini khalili. Fa yandur ahadakum man yukhalilu He says that a person will be upon the deen, the religion of his close friend. So each one of you shall look to see who it is that you have closely befriended. Listen, we live in a non-Muslim society, so of course we deal with non-Muslims all the time. We work with them, we do business with them, hire them, work for them, greet them, help them, serve them sometimes. How do you know what I mean? Family? Of course. And we have to be fair and just, but don't be like the unbeliever. Don't be the Muslim, you're so afraid, you know. Alhamdulillah, the other day I had to meet with my son's teacher. And one of his teachers is Muslim, mashallah. So anyway, we with several teachers, you know. And you know, I always have the issue with Muslims who are afraid to give salams in public. I just think they're so trifling. I know, it's just because the salam is something that was taught to Adam by the malaika. This is the greeting, this is our greeting. We own that greeting, man. But you got to come on. Anyway. So, go in the room, vice principal, everybody's assembling up, you know. And this particular teacher, I think his history teacher. He teaches history. So when he came in, and my son keep telling me, yeah, I got a Muslim teacher. Alhamdulillah. So I felt so good when he walked in the room because it was full of teachers and, you know, and the vice principal, he'd come in the room. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh man, I was like, alaikum. I mean, I was really, you know, mashallah. Like he didn't, I love that. So, because it set the tone for the meeting too. It set the tone for the meeting. Then he, you know, he's from Yemen, so he speaks Arabic, so we're speaking Arabic, and there, you know, we're like, mashallah, barakallah, bismillah, all through the meeting, you know, yeah, alhamdulillah, this, you know, because that's how I'm talking. He's saying the same thing, and that just made all the teachers really like, we need to be getting it right with these guys, because subhanAllah, you know, you know, because this is the izzah of Islam. This is the honor of Islam. Islam automatically, you worship Allah, automatically is an honor attached to that. There's no comparison between somebody that worships Allah and somebody that doesn't acknowledge Allah. It's like, but this verse, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. He said, those people who say, our Lord is Allah, and then after that, they live an upright life, تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, that the angels descend. Now check that what happened. The angels descend upon them at the time of their death. Right? You say, my Lord is Allah, and you're trying to live the right way. You die. Everybody dies. But when you die, when people die, I understand they're going to be afraid. It's a scary thing. It's a painful thing. The sakaratul maut. Even the Prophet was seeking refuge in Allah from the pain of death. Sayyidina Idris, alayhi salam, because Allah put Idris in the high. I want to tell you that story, but we don't have time. But Sayyidina Idris, one time he asked the Malik al-Maut, he said, I want to ask you a favor. And Malik al-Maut said, what is it? He said, I want to taste death. I want you to let me see what death tastes like. So the angel of death, he asked Allah, because he just can't, you know. Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. It's not for any soul to die except by the permission of Allah. It is an appointed time. So he just can't. So he asked Allah, well, this is what, you know, the Prophet wants. Oh, so yeah, he said, take his, you know, cause death on him for an hour, and then bring him back to life. So he did it to Sayyidina Idris. He caused him to die, then he gave his life back. So he asked him, he said, how was it? And he said, it was much more painful than what I heard about. So death is serious business. So the time when you really want to get some kind of comfort is when you die. That's why it's important to befriend the malaika and to do things that, you know, you're pleasing Allah, but you be on the team. Because you got them pulling for you too. Like Allah says, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They ask forgiveness for those who are on earth. That the angels, they ask forgiveness. You do certain things, they make a dua for you too. If a person makes a dua for his brother, فِي ظَهِرِ الْغَيْبِ. If your brother's absent from you, but you're still praying for that person, oh Allah, help this person, do this for so-and-so, forgive my brother over here, help so-and-so find a job. Ya Allah, this person's going through some struggle, and I'm just praying on his behalf, and the person's nowhere around. That's called dua fi dhahir al-ghayb. There's an angel who's Allah appoints muwakkil to your dua. That's how deep that is. Allah says, okay, angel, I want you to be the angel on his dua. Make sure his dua goes smoothly, and then the angel be making dua for you. Oh Allah, whatever he's asking, just give it to him too. So all these relationships that you develop with the malaika, they start to become your friends, and they start to like you, like the way you get down. Just like the Prophet said that there's seven people, يَذِلُّهُمَ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّ. The seven people, Allah will shade them in his shade on a day when there's no shade except his shade. One of those people were رَجُلٌ قَلْبَهُ مَعَلَّكُمْ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A man whose heart is attached to the masjid. Well, that's a good thing in himself, but why? Where did Malaika go? Where in the Paso Heights would you expect to see Malaika? What, the Bontrager Market? The mall? Walmart? I'm just saying. Where in this area would you expect to see malaika except the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So you keep going to the angels like, man, dude, they digging you for these things. So when you die, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ سَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا. He says that the angels descend upon them at the time of their death and say to them, لَا تَخَافُوا, don't be afraid, وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا, and don't worry, وَأُبَشِّرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ, because we're giving you glad tidings of the Jannah that you were promised. And you're dead. Remember, you're newly dead. Before anything else, hold up. Don't worry. Don't grieve. Because it looks like you're going to Jannah. We just give you glad tidings. You've been marked as one of those, your path. But then he says something very interesting. Nahnu awliya'ukum fil hayat ad-dunya wa fil akhirah. He says, we were your friends in the dunya. Like the same angels, like, dude, when you were living, we was there, we've been checking you out. So because at that point, when you die, and you have a bunch of angels who've taken you as a friend, they love you, they like the way you get down, the way you make dua, and man, this dude is steadfast, man. You might be one of those persons that worship, boy, you almost rivaling them. Like, whoa. Because angels like to be at the head of the ibadah, and when somebody come up with something real slick, they get it. Whoa, what's that? Just like the time in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ, he was in the Salat, he was in Rukur, he came up, he said, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, and a man behind him said, Rabbana wa laka alhamd. So after the Salat was over, because the Prophet didn't tell nobody to say nothing about no Rabbana wa laka alhamd. But that's a nice little thing, right? Okay, it's kind of cool too. Rabbana wa laka alhamd. I mean, it's like smooth. So the Prophet, after Salah, he said, who said that? And one of the Sahaba said, I said it. He said, because when you said that, I saw 30-something angels all rushing with each other to see which one of them can write that down first. Because they never heard that, like that. In this, you know. So the angels, they say, وَلَا تَخَافُ وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا وَأُبَشِرُوا and have glad tidings of the Jannah. Then they say, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your friends in the dunya. Like, dude, all this time you was living and going through on the path, we was like cheering you on. That's why they're so happy when the angel of death takes your soul. Because now the angels can finally get to, you can, Allah allows for you to, you know, them to talk to you and all that. Because they can't talk to you directly unless Allah gives them the command. Allah made a barrier between us and the malaika. They're still amongst us, but if they like an abd, a servant, oh man, he's really loving Allah. He's really doing good. He's really striving. He's with Allah. He's on our side. Angels like, that's my man right there. That's why Allah says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا, this prophet said, in the hadith, he said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا يُنَادِي جِبْرِيلُ وَيَقُولُ يَا جِبْرِيلُ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانَ فَأَحِبُّ. He says, if Allah loves somebody, he calls Jibreel. And he says, Jibreel, you know I love this person. I'm commanding you to love him. And then Jibreel like, I love him too. You love him, I love him. Then Jibreel goes to the Malaika. Because they, like I said, they're a team. They're on the same side. Muslims should be the same way. If this is why the Prophet said, a Muslim, akhu Muslim. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. The Muslim should be, hey, I'm with the Muslims. I roll with the Muslims. I pray with the Muslims. I walk with the Muslims. I befriend the Muslims. That's why y'all shouldn't be rolling with non-Muslims like you do. In the dunya, in the street. For that reason. Because the Muslims support the Muslim. The Muslims support Islam. The Muslim supports good. We support Iman, belief. In order to be a Muslim, you have to be able to be a disbeliever in some things. But then Jibreel goes and he says to the Malaika, he says, Inna Allaha yuhibbul fulan fahibbu. He says to the angels, Allah loves so and so, so and so, so I'm commanding all of you to love him. Then you get all these angels loving you. And the Prophet said, Wa wudi'a lahu al-qubul fil ard. And then he's given acceptance in the earth, meaning that righteous people accept him, like him, trust him. That's a sign for anyone that Allah loves him. Righteous people trust you. They believe you. They know what you stand for. So this is the situation with the angels when you die. So this is why it's Muslims, we believe in the unseen. We believe in the malaika. And we strive to be part of that heavenly community. That's what we want. That's the whole idea. Don't get too attached to nothing on the dunya, because we're not going to be here that long. That's why the Prophet said, Kunt fit dunya ka'annaka what? As if you're a traveler. Ka'annaka gharib al-abir al-sabir. Be in the dunya as if you were a stranger coming through, or somebody just passing by. You never become attached, but you attach yourself to the believers. Why? Because the only relationship, the only, there's only one relationship, one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala automatically allows you to continue that relationship after death. Automatic. Every other relationship breaks off. You might get back together, you might not. Your wife, يوم يفر مرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه. Only one relationship that Allah allows to transcend automatically. And he says, الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقون. He says, all brethren relationships, all of them, on that day, day of judgment, they will become enemies with one another, except for the righteous. So that's why you love your Muslim brother. You attach yourself to a Muslim brother, because pretty much, inshallah, stay on the right path, this is going to last. You never, ever, ever attach yourself too closely to a non-believer. I can't understand you brothers talking about, that's my homie from my group. Yeah, I grew up with him. That's my man. For me. What is that? That's just crazy. If it's your man, say, hey, you my man. Check this out, man. I'm a Muslim. And you my man. I want you to be Muslim, too. You ready? Put your finger up. Well, yeah, listen, take shahada, man. Be Muslim. Because I'm rolling like that. That's what Sahaba used to do. And they came into the deen. So brothers and sisters, be on the side of the righteous. Befriend the righteous. You know, do in the path of the malaika of being servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because then you become of the hizb of Allah. Allah's group. You want to be written down as part of Allah's group while you're on the planet. Because when Allah starts to divide everybody yawm al-qiyamah, you want to make sure you're going to the right group. Because you're going to be raised with what you love. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلِكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, my advice to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah has said, O you who believe, اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah to the degree that's warranted, and don't die unless you die in a state of submission. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منا والأموات وألف بين قلوبنا واجعل في قلوبنا الإيمان والحكمة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله عظيم يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قيم الصلاة رحمكم
الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. على الصلاة على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
Astaqimu, yarahamakum wa thabakum Allah. Brothers and sisters, make sure your line are connected and they're straight, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.